It's a rare day when members of environmental groups and reps from the timber industry celebrate the same event, but it happened recently in eastern Oregon when an agreement was announced, one that would both allow restoration in the Malheur National Forest and allow a lumber mill in John Day to add workers, in fact, another shift. It's a deal that involves a number of partners, including Blue Mountains Forest Partners, which brought conservation and resource use groups together 8 years ago. We have two guests with us. Susan Jane Brown is an attorney with the Western Environmental Law Center, also with Blue Mountain Forest Partners. Welcome, Susan Jane.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Good to have you here. And John Shelk is with us as well. He's the managing director at Ochoco Lumber, which is the parent company of Malheur Lumber, which is the mill in John Day that will be adding some jobs. John, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
John, if you can give us just a sketch here, what's the general story been at Malheur Lumber over the last few years with supplies of logs available to you, et cetera?
2 years ago, we were close to shutting down. We'd actually announced a shutdown, and it was primarily due to a shortage of logs in our operating area. We were no longer able to buy logs at a competitive price, and so the only option left was to shut down.
And how far afield were you ranging up until that point to get logs?
Over 200 miles.
Really? So where were you having to go to get them?
Central Idaho in several cases, and we had tried shipping logs from as far away as the Oregon Cascades, which wasn't working.
Okay. When you said that you were close to shutting down, but you didn't, so what was able to forestall the shutdown at that time?
When we announced our shutdown, there was a tremendous groundswell of support. Amongst those supporting us was Senator Ron Wyden, who was at that time chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resource Committee.
And he assisted in what way?
Talked to the Forest Service, actually the chief in Washington, D.C., and indicated that with all the needs that there were in the eastern Oregon forests for forest restoration, that is, thinning and removing of underbrush to reduce the risk of wildfire and disease, it was unacceptable that that we lose the last mill in the on the Malheur Forest that was capable of assisting in this restoration activity by producing an economic return from some of the products that were going to come off the thinning of the forest.
Susan Jane Brown, I want to turn to you. What is the usual work of the Western Environmental Law Center?
The Western Environmental Law Center is a nonprofit environmental law firm, so we represent typically conservation interests in litigation involving a whole myriad of issues, whether it's public lands or water quality or energy development. So typically we are on the side of challenging projects in court, including timber sales and that sort of thing. So that's our usual MO, but we are working in this collaborative capacity as well, which is something that's a little bit different, as you might imagine.
So if one of you can describe the formation of Blue Mountains Forest Partners and how that began coalescing.
Sure, I can take a stab at that. So our collaboration has its origins around 2003 or so, when there was quite a bit of litigation. I was involved in that against the Forest Service. We were challenging timber sales on the Malheur National Forest on behalf of conservation interests. We were concerned that the timber program was not going in the right direction. It was not a restorative program. And that litigation had been highly successful. There wasn't much of a timber program on the Malheur. And at that time, I was approached by members of the county court there in Grant County.
County commission in Western Oregon.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And they were concerned about the lack of forest management and what that meant for not only the forest but their communities. And they approached me and wanted to see if there was a possibility that we might have some common ground about a future vision for management of the Malheur National Forest that could benefit the land as well as the community. And we, as part of that, we started having some conversations among small groups at first of local stakeholders, including representatives from Malheur Lumber Company. And over time, as our familiarity with each other grew and we started to restore some trust, our conversations got bigger and involved more people. And over time, we realized that despite a lot of historic disagreement about forest management and, frankly, current disagreement about management, we still all believed that something needed to change, and that by looking to science and to developing science, perhaps we could come up with some areas of agreement that would involve active management, that would result in restored ecosystems as well as economic development for the county. And so out of that came the Blue Mountain Forest Partners.
John Schell, can I get that relationship from your side of the table? I mean, I imagine there was a bit of a bumpy start here, just trying to get people into the room in the first place.
Susan Jane mentions the date 2003. We had attempted earlier, probably in the late 1990s, to form some consensus groups, or a consensus group in Northeast Oregon. This was strongly encouraged by Governor Kitzhaber, who was in his second term at that point.
His first go-round, let's put it that way.
That's right, first go-round. And this involved discussions between some of the stakeholders that Susan Jane mentions, but ultimately it didn't produce anything in the way of positive outcomes as far as the timber industry was concerned. So we dropped out of the activity. Governor Kitzhaber called me and said, "John, I'd really appreciate it if you would stay in the activity." And I, at that time, said, "No, I am not inclined to lend our name to an activity that suggests that there's something going on, something positive going on, when, in our view, there's nothing positive happening from this activity." So we started early on, dropped out, and then, as Susan Jane mentions, we re-engaged in 2003, and it's been the rest, as they say, is history.
We're talking about an agreement to allow some restoration in the Malheur National Forest in eastern Oregon that will also allow the creation of some new jobs at the Malheur Lumber Company mill in John Day, which is a subsidiary of Ochoco Lumber. John Schelk is the managing director there. Susan Jane Brown is an attorney with the Western Environmental Law Center. You can join our discussion here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Susan Jane, I've watched some partnerships on the west side form and unform and then reform. It is not unusual to have partners drop out and then come back. It often seems to be the environmental groups, though. Was there any issue with the Western Environmental Law Center or the other conservation groups coming and going and coming back?
Well, you know, I think it is true that organizations do come and go depending on staff capacity and interest and comfort with the direction that a collaborative group might be going. So that's not really unusual. I think for the Western Environmental Law Center, you know, we see our role as being able to bring science and policy experience, as well as an in-depth knowledge of the legal framework that is often complex that surrounds federal forest management. So we really see our role as being a resource of information. And I think that has been positively received. I think it's important that for a lot of these collaboratives to move forward, that there needs to be something that all of the parties can agree on. And for us on the east side, on the Malheur, that has been really looking towards what the science is telling us about forest restoration. So as part of our work with BMFP, We've brought some science and scientists to our forest to talk to us about restoration opportunities, and I think that's really been a coalescing point for our zones of agreement on the Malheur.
The issues are somewhat different in eastern Oregon forests. I mean, you don't have the spotted owl there. You don't have the Northwest Forest Plan governing things, but similar constraints, I would think, on whether or not to continue logging.
Yes, that's right. I think that we, you know, on the east side, we have the east side screens, popularly known as the 21-inch rule, which prohibits logging trees larger than 21 inches. We also have PACFISH and NFISH, which are two management frameworks regarding aquatic resources and fish. So while we don't have the Northwest Forest Plan or the Spotted Owl, we do have a rigid regulatory framework on the east side that we've been working with that sometimes makes our job that much harder. But I think that when you look at the science and what it's telling us to do in terms of restoring those dry ecosystems, we've got a pretty good idea of what needs to be done, and there's a fair amount of agreement around that from all of the stakeholders.
John Shelk, I have to believe when you were talking about Senator Ron Wyden coming in 2 years ago when you were on the verge of shutting down that you were getting close to something. Is that not a fair statement, or is it?
There has been a large project put into place on the Malheur Forest, a large stewardship project that is 10 years in duration that is meant to, over a long period of time, treat a number of acres, a large number of acres on the Malheur Forest, and hopefully the value from the merchantable timber taken off of these, off the thinning activities, will pay for the restorative activities that are going to be taking place on the forest. Senator Wyden, as I say, in his role as chair of the Senate Energy and Natural Resource Committee, pushed this through the various steps within the Forest Service until it became a fact. And one of our local loggers, Iron Triangle Logging out of John Day, was the purchaser of this contract, and we in turn have a supply agreement with Iron Triangle for the logs to come off of this project.
And how soon will that work start?
We started receiving logs from that in November of this past year.
Mm-hmm. And how much board footage will come out in this process?
They're talking about in the neighborhood of 50 to 60, up to 70 million board feet per year, but that's not an accurate measure of the merchantable timber that will come from the forest. Actually, the merchantable timber will be approximately half of that number. Much of the rest of it will be in smaller trees, thinnings that will primarily go into biomass.
All right. And have you begun to add jobs already at the Malheur Lumber Company mill?
Last night, we operated the first night shift that we've operated at Malheur in, I'm thinking, over 15 years.
Really, that long?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a big deal. So how many jobs altogether added on thus far and projected?
Thus far, we've added about 20 jobs. We're hoping to ramp that up to eventually adding a total of 50 jobs.
All right. Susan Jane, we just had a caller who just wanted to have the 21-inch screen rule explained.
Sure. So the 21-inch rule is part of the Eastside Screens, which was an interim management guideline that was put into place in 1993. It was supposed to be an 18-month rule that was put into place before a larger Eastside-wide management framework could be put into place to protect old growth. So the 21-inch rule prohibits the logging of live trees larger than 21 inches in diameter. And that's important because a lot of the science indicates that there is a correlation to some degree between age of tree and girth of tree. So the idea being that trees that are 21 inches in size and diameter at breast height are roughly equivalent to an old growth tree. That has been found to be true for many types of trees, in particular ponderosa pine trees, which is what we have out on the east side. But there are some sorts of trees, in particular grand fir, which is not a very fire resistant species and has grown up underneath ponderosa pine due to fire suppression. So in our restoration activities, we would like to remove some trees that are larger than 21 inches, but in fact much younger than old growth. They can be 40, 50, 60 years in age, which is the science tells us is not equivalent to old growth. So the 21-inch rule is good for a lot of things, but it is an imperfect tool when you're trying to restore large landscapes that have experienced quite a bit of fire suppression in the past.
Let us take a call. We have Pam and Dexter on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Malheur National Forest Restoration Agreement with Susan Jane Brown and John Shelk.
Hi. Well, I think a little bit of my question's been answered. I'm curious about the environmental benefits of this agreement and how this is going to help the forest be healthier. I know you talked a little bit about it's going to be some thinning, so is there going to be a lot of clear cutting, or is it going to be all thinning? And is the biomass to be taken to be burned for electricity, or is it going to be chipped back into help the soils? And I'm curious how this is going to help the environment, or is it more of a gift to logging interest? And I'll listen on the radio.
All right, thanks,
Pam.
Go into
more detail on that.
Appreciate it. Susan Jane, you want to take on the, because you got the environmental aspect in there.
Sure. Yeah, so the prescriptions that we have developed collaboratively are guided by a lot of the scientific research that's coming out of the universities and the Pacific Northwest Research Station. And our prescriptions are focused on thinning. We don't really do clear cuts over on the east side. The ecology there really doesn't lend itself to clear cuts. So it's mostly thinning of, in particular, grand fir, as I mentioned, to allow for some residual spacing for the trees that we leave behind, which are larch and ponderosa pine and some Doug fir. And really our goal is to allow wildfire, to perform its natural and historic role in those forests. Fire is a great regulator, and those forests need fire in order to function appropriately. So what we're doing is removing the smaller material so that fire can perform that thinning activity naturally. And as a byproduct of that work, there is merchantable material that can go to John's Mill and to provide some economic benefit. I know that the biomass question is a challenging one. I think John can talk a little bit about what Malheur Lumber has done there. They've got a pellet mill, and I believe, John, you're installing new equipment, right, to take some smaller diameter material.
That's correct. We're putting in a an additional small log machine to handle the smaller trees. I might add to what Susan Jane has said that east of the Cascades and throughout the Intermountain West, there's a lot of mortality dying in trees. Lodgepole pine comes to mind in the Colorado region, where part of the problem has to do with trees that are overstocked on a particular acre and being stressed due to the dryness and lack of moisture that we're experiencing with climate change. What we're doing on the east side is trying to remove some of the smaller trees, so lessen the competition on the other trees so that trees can survive. What's happened, particularly on the Malheur Forest, is that during the heavy timber harvesting years in the past, what's happened is that smaller trees have grown in and come to provide a lot of competition to the larger remaining trees. And so if these trees are removed, then Susan Jane has mentioned that it's going to allow fire to retake some of its historic role, but also lessen the competition in terms of moisture and nutrients for those remaining trees.
John Shelk, is this ultimately amount to something like a project? I mean, it looks like there's funding for this, 10 years of funding to allow the restoration work to go on coming from the feds. But when the 10-year restoration is over, are you back to square one and potentially the extra shift at the mill comes off again?
We would hope that after 10 years goes by that I think the general public and the Forest Service will recognize the benefits that have come under this 10-year project and will choose to continue either that project or a similar version of that project.
And Susan Jane, I know this is Eastern Oregon, so very different forests from Western Oregon and from our part of California as well. But are there lessons here that are replicable? Can this be duplicated elsewhere, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and certainly with the success of our work on the Malheur National Forest, there has been an increased interest in the region around collaborative conservation and whether or not these sorts of local place-based agreements can be replicated elsewhere. And I do think that there are certainly some lessons learned that can be replicated elsewhere. It takes time to rebuild relationships, because that's what this really is all about, is relationships. And there are difficulties and barriers to folks, frankly, laying down their weapons, checking their weapons at the door, and being willing to sit across the table from folks who they disagree with and have for a very long time. That's hard, and it takes time to rebuild those relationships. Now, that said, that's certainly something that can happen. It just may take more time than some are willing to spend on the effort. I think following the science, as I mentioned that earlier, that's something that we've really keyed into on the Malheur, that science is our guide, and we'll look to the science to see what we should be doing. So there definitely are some lessons learned that I think can be replicated elsewhere.
Well, congratulations to both of you and everybody else for reaching an agreement. We're talking to the folks from Blue Mountain Forest Partners, Susan Jane Brown, an attorney with Western Environmental Law Center, John Shelk, the managing director at Ochoco Lumber, which is the parent company of Malheur Lumber, which added a shift back last night. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.